Okay, this coming Shabbos, we have the wonderful opportunity to read Parshios Vayakel and Pekudei, and of course, we also have the opportunity to read Parshas Para, according to many of the commentaries, Balei HaTosus, among others, the Ritva. The mitzvah of reading Parshas Para is a mitzvah de'oraisa, so please make sure you get the opportunity to get to shul in order to be able to hear Parshas Para. And of course, Parshas Vayakel Pekudei begins with Moshe Rabbeinu gathering the entire people of Israel. Vayakel Moshe es kol hadas b'nei Yisrael, and he says to them, Eila dvar masher tziva Hashem la'asos osam. Just to teach the rules of Shabbos, Moshe had to gather the people. Why did Moshe need to gather the people? Such a gathering was only done to give the people some extra Musar, or to enter them into a bris. So why are we doing that over here? So the Ibn Ezra suggests that it was to collect the donations. And Ramban suggests that it was to have them enter a new bris after the Chet HaEgel. But the late great Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, suggested that the message here was from Moshe Rabbeinu, who recognized that the people were probably feeling pretty distanced from him. He was with them through the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then he carried them in the Midbar. And then, all of a sudden, he came down from Har Sinai, and he smashes the ego, and now all of a sudden they say, well, they let him down. There must have been an experience of distance and dissociation. And in order to re-encourage the people to fix up the relationship and maybe to restore and repair it, Moshe Rabbeinu calls all of the people together instead of just speaking to the leaders and letting the leaders carry the message forth. Vayakel Moshe. Moshe brings the people together and he wants them to get involved. And he tells them, Sheshes Yamim Teasem Lacho Vayom Ashri Yelachem Kodesh. Now you have to understand, in Parshas Yisro, when we mention the idea of Shabbos, it says, we mention Sheshes Yamim we mentioned Sheshes Yamim Tavod, and when Shabbos is given to us, it's Sheshes Yamim Tavod Ve'asisa Kol Malachtecha. We mention Avoda, we mention Malacha. When it comes to the Azhara on Shabbos here, we don't mention the Avoda. Why don't we mention the Avoda here? And why don't we say Lo Savod in Parshas Yisro? So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal noted that the only Isser is not to do Malacha. The Issurei Shabbos are Lo Sasa Kol Malacha. But technically, the Avoda working is technically halachically permitted. And so when one does Avoda, what's Avoda that would be permitted? That would be the work that a person does and he becomes unfulfilled with the actions. Right? When a person does not get any of the... when the person doesn't get his own personal benefit from that which he does, so he's doing avdus, right? He's enslaved. We don't say he's doing malachus. So malacha is work that has done with a purpose. Like we say, as far as Shabbos is concerned, malachas machashevas asra Torah. When you do work with a purpose, then that's something that the Torah says is asr. Hopefully that work has a work towards Kedusha, and thus the comparison between Hilchot Shabbos and the Asiyas HaMishkan. But that's what we're told a person's not allowed to do, right? Parshas Vayakel deals with the Mishkan, and the Malacha that's described is one of purpose, and of a lofty one at that, and so for that reason we're told, Sheshes Yamim V'asisa Kol Malachtecha. And then the bulk of Parshas Vayakel and Pekudei do teach us all about the Mishkan, and we're told, Vayavo Anoshim Al Hanoshim, the men contributed in addition to the contributions of the women. And of course, Rav Moshe Feinstein explains that the women came wearing their jewelry, and then they donated it. Why is it important for us to know that they came wearing their jewelry and then donated it? So Ramoshi explains that there's a valuable lesson to be learned here. The women were not just reaching into their closets and donating the stuff that they didn't want anymore. They wore the stuff up to the final minute. But then, having had a chance to take their stuff and donate it to the Mishkan, they said, look, we love this, and now we want to love it in the same way, to use it for a higher, more lofty purpose. It's even greater. But Moshe says the same thing is true for Limud HaTorah. It shouldn't just be for leisure. It should be something that has a higher purpose in our lives as well. Okay. So then we're told Moshe Rabbeinu made the kior b'maros hatzovos. And Rashi explains that Moshe wasn't so comfortable taking the maros hatzovos because he said they were being used in order to entice their husbands. And Hashem told him, what are you talking about? Elu chavivin alaymin akol, these are more important to me than all the other donations. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky explained that when the women told their husbands, Ani noem imcha, I am prettier, it doesn't mean I am prettier than you. It wasn't a competition. It means Ani noeh, my beauty comes from you. And that reflects the beauty of the sanctity in the relationship and how the bonds add to the individual parts. A person needs to understand that. A person needs to benefit from that if a person is going to grow. Then we get into Parshas Pekudei, and we're told, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. And the Medrash notes that Rav Tanchuma explained that Parshas Pekudei, anything Moshe needed to account for, right? And Rav El Yisrei explains that only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to put the pieces of the Mishkan together, as only he was responsible for the accounting. And Moshe Rabbeinu, says Rav El Yisrei, was the one who could unite the people in the service of Hashem. When one considers that the Mishkan was the uniting force, but it was made up with a sum total, one would be afraid that the sum total would be a divisive force. After all, when a person tends to take accounting procedures into account, certain parties turn around and say, well, you know, this is... mine is more than yours, or I didn't like the way this was used, you sewed it the wrong way, the right way, etc. And so therefore the Torah tells us that Moshe alone united the people. Moshe alone was able to use the accounting to be a uniting force and not a dividing one in the process. And then it should be pointed out that throughout the Parsha, we see the phraseology, Kasher Tzivah Hashem Es Moshe. Throughout the parasha, we find a reference to that idea over and over and over again. And so Ramati Kamenetsky, Shalita, suggested that the message here is to teach us that not only was the entire picture one that was done completely, each step in the effort, the intricacies of the stones, the designs that were put on the kelim, each one was significant and important. Each step contained such direct detail that each one was done kasher tzivah Hashem es Moshe, exactly the way that Hashem commanded Moshe. And when the parasha continues, we're told at the end of the parasha that the Anan directed when the Jews were going to be able to go up and down and left and right, and more positive, more negative, whichever way it was. The Gemara in Bava Kamma and elsewhere learns the laws of Melech HaShabbos from the Mishkan. But how do you learn the laws of Hotzah? After all, Hotzah was not really done in the preparation of the Mishkan. So Moreinu Rav Shechter used to point out to us that the moving and the traveling in the Midbar was part of the responsibilities of the setting up of the Mishkan. The purpose of Mishkan was to be mobile. Taking it up and putting it down and carrying it was part of the Melacha. And hence, that the end of the Sefer of Shemos includes the moving of Am Yisrael. That's not because it's a transition, that's because it's the end point. We needed to know that mobility of the Mishkan and its carrying is part of the construction of the Mishkan, and therefore we have the Melacha of Hilchos Shabbos in the process. Okay, as far as we read, when we get to Parshas Parah, the Parsha we're told, V'ichu elecha para aduma tamima, that Bnei Yisrael is supposed to take para aduma. And the question has to be asked, for whom are they taking this para? So Rav Gifter Zatzal suggested that it was for Moshe. In other words, Chazal seemed to suggest that the para aduma is an atonement for Chet HaEgel. And Rav Gifter pointed out that the tefillah of Moshe was that which saved them from the initial bolt of the sin of the Egel. And hence the post-sin purification is also credited to Moshe. It's v'yikhu elecha, it's to you. So imagine that, forevermore. Whenever anyone comes back from a process of tumas tzaras, process of tumah, whether it be from the tzaras or whether it be from tumas meis, it will always be credited to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a pretty serious zuchus. In the Haftorah of Parshas Parah, we're told that the tumah that's identified is ketumas hanida, Right? In Yechezkel, he says, Beis Yisrael Yoshua al Admasam Vayitamu Osa Ketumas Hanida, Yechezkel declares. And why is there a reference to Tumas Nida? Shouldn't Tumas Meis make more sense? So Rav Chaim ben Sinor Shalita suggested that the Tumah can be removed relatively easily with Tshuva, after which one is able to achieve Geula. And so in the same way that the unique status is preserved despite the Tumah with Anida, Hashem doesn't change our status, even when we need to be removed from the home due to Tumah. We have a responsibility in life to be able to improve our situation, to improve our status. And until we achieve it, we will have the opportunity to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't forgotten us. Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo v'nachlaso lo yazov. There is a hope for the future. May we be zochet to that future and the opportunity to achieve v'zarakti aleichem mayim tohurim utahartim, to be able to go back and get to the status of Beis Yisrael Yoshvim al Admasam with the geula that should come b'mheira v'yameinu. Shabbat shalom to all.